Wow. God is so good. Thinking of parents that are saying, hey, I would love to raise my kids in church. I'd love to get them connected to a church body. And then watching the parents, in turn, being ministered to by their kids and encouraged to take that next step in faith. It doesn't get much better than that, does it, Eric? Eric's in this service. He doesn't like attention, but I cried at the last service, so I want to bring some attention to another dad that's got a soft part place in his heart for his kids and God's work. And so only God can do that. And honestly, that's the something greater. Hey, here is our plan, but then God comes in with his greater to watch God do something that we could never imagine. Parents that stand up here today dedicating kids and saying, hey, we want to raise our kids to know the Lord, just be prepared. God, the miracle you're praying for might look a little bit different than the one that God delivers, and it can be done through the life of a child. It's pretty awesome to see that take place. During these next few weeks, talking about something greater and what is it that God's doing in our church, in our heart, in our life, that we want God to do something in us in order for God to do something through us. We're going to be talking about engagement. What does it look like to really be engaged as a body? And here's what we know. A year ago to the day, our church was half the size, and now our church has doubled since then. What do we do with that? Do we add on to a building? No. We steward the multiplication that God has brought. We're not looking to add on to a facility. We're looking to steward what God has brought to us. And we want to see engagement. What engagement looks like is it's all of us. We're all in on this together. And so even though we're building a facility that will specifically bless, you know, student ministry and kids ministry, we're not building it for them. We're building it with them. Here's why. And our kids, they're walking through something greater. In Anchor and Slingshot, they're walking through something greater. They're going to learn about generosity. They're going to learn about what is it that God may be doing in their hearts and lives. So parents, walk through that with them. Those of you, you may not be married, may not have kids, you may not, you know, even understand what's going on in all those other environments. Just engage in praying for this church as a whole, praying for all of us to take our next steps with the Lord. We're doing a prayer journal that goes along. It's called 21 Days. It's in the app, and you can follow along with it there. It's a devotion each and every day, and you can click on the link. It's really quick. We wanted to do this for you, and you may be saying, man, that's a really nice thumb. Thank you. I want to say thank you. That is my thumb, and I've worked long and hard. I was stretching and just getting everything ready so that I could deliver this to you at this moment. that was weird. But this is a chance for each one of us to, every single day, we have an opportunity for a worship night. We have a day of prayer and fasting specifically. So follow along. We're doing our best to communicate over these next 21 days how God could use all of us if we all engaged. And today is an answer to prayer. I've been wanting to preach 1 Samuel 1 about Hannah dedicating Samuel to the Lord for a long time, like literally every child dedication since we started the church, and today's the day. So you may say, did Rock Harbor plan something? Because this is new for us. We don't usually plan things, but we planned out child dedications on this day to talk about the generational ministry that the Lord is doing within our church and to specifically talk about what does it mean to dedicate. So in your Bible, 1 Samuel chapter 1, we're going to start in verse number 4 and talk about what Hannah did and the faith of Hannah. Verse number 4, on the day when Elkanah sacrificed. That name Elkanah obviously was named because he's an elk hunter. That's how I interpret the Bible. Amen to that, right? He would give portions to Pinah, his wife, and all of her sons and daughters. But Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her. So let's stop for a second. It's talking about having two wives. I could easily talk here about the joke of you can't handle more than one, don't even think about it, but I'm not going to because that's dumb. Okay, I'm not going to tell that joke. But what I want to say is every time in Scripture you see it mentioned, there's jealousy, there's challenges, there's struggles that are involved. God saw for each man to have a wife. So when you see this, don't think, well, God, it was okay in the Bible. It wasn't okay in the Bible, okay? There's clear direction around it. Genesis 2. It's not good for man to be alone, right? I'm going to give him a helper for him. Not helpers for him. I'm going to give him a compliment. What we're seeing here is jealousy, favoritism, constant problems that happen here. It says, obviously, he loved her, and even though the Lord had closed her womb, so she was barren, she couldn't have children. Verse 6, and her rival used to provoke her grievously, to irritate her, because the Lord had closed her womb. So it went on year by year, and often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. Therefore, Hannah wept and would not eat. Hannah had asked for the Lord to give her a child. Her prayer wasn't answered. This wasn't the fact Hannah sinned, okay? This is sin, and she's being judged. Often when bad things happen, that's where either our minds go, because we're not God, or people would say, oh, well, maybe if you had done this, if you would have done that. When I read this, there's some of you in here that this has been your journey. As I studied this when I was younger and I read about this, I always thought, oh man, that was tough to not have a child. That was probably really tough on her. I didn't quite understand it like I do now. Having walked through things in our lives, having walked through things with other people, waiting on the Lord, waiting on something they ask. So you got to understand, Hannah's heart is very sensitive, and she has this rival, this other wife that constantly is saying, look at what you've done, look what you can't do, look what I can do. But then you see the husband, he had a special affinity for Hannah. It says in verse number 8, and Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? And why do you not eat? And why is your heart sad? He's really trying to connect to her. And then he says what dudes say. Am I not more to you than 10 sons? That's what guys say. To the point where I say, maybe you should go to re-engage, Elkanah. It might be a really good idea for you to connect and understand emotions. He didn't meet her emotionally. No, he went to, don't I show you favoritism? Look at what I'm bringing. In this day and time, one, to not have a child was something that felt shameful. Secondly, to not have boys that could carry on the name, that could do the work around the farm or in the, you know, the metal shop, or what are those different things that, what do they call metal shoppers? What's that called? Yes, blacksmith, exactly what I was thinking. I like this guy up down front here. Broski, you're a good dude. Keep working with me here. Verse number 9, okay? After they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah rose. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. First off, Elkanah makes it about himself. It's supposed to be about what she's walking through. So she goes to the temple. She's praying. The priest sees her. And it says she was greatly distressed, which out of the Hebrew, it means soul pain. Her soul was in pain. Maybe you've been like that. Maybe you've been in pain. And when somebody asks you how you're doing, you're like, oh, I'm good, I'm good. You have a case of gooditis, okay? I'm good, it's good. People don't find out about your gooditis until it becomes really baditis, right? See, we're supposed to be a safe place. This church specifically is founded on the rock. We're a harbor, people to come into, share what they're going through. Imperfect people saying, I don't have it together. And she felt close enough and honest enough to be able to tell the priest, like, I'm not doing great. My question would be for you and I, like, how are we really doing? Do you have relationships where you could really say, I'm distressed in my soul? The business is honestly not going as well as I thought, and I'm really struggling with this. Like, I'm not sure if it's going to make it. Yeah, to be quite honest with you, I drink probably more than I can or should, and I am struggling in this area. It's become a problem. Yeah, things look good, but to be honest with you, the kids are, it's just not good. We have a son, we have a daughter who's gone their own way, it's really tough on us. Are you trying to keep it together? Are you willing to open up? Because she opens up and we see her pray. And I love this next part because it's the first recorded prayer of a woman in the Bible. It's incredible. Here's what she says, verse 11. She vowed a vow and said, Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. and no razor shall touch his head. This is Hannah making a dedication. Because if you look at it, you could be like, is Hannah trying to make a deal with God? Hey, if you do this, then I'll do this. No, she's actually making a dedication. She's saying, if I have a son, then I'm going to raise him to know you, and I'm dedicating him. In fact, he's not going to shave his head, which was a Nazarite vow. He was preparing to be a priest. He was preparing to lead God's people in whatever way you would see fit with him. This is not Hannah making a deal with God. This is Hannah making a dedication to God. And I love this because this shows like, and we'll talk about it a little bit more next week. It's kind of this hint of what a partnership with a church looks like. She's giving an offering that God had graciously given to her. But at this point, she's still asking. And prior to it being given to her, she's already giving a dedication of what she's going to do if there's some sort of blessing, this blessing of a son that's brought to her. Some of you that you dedicated your kids this morning, some of you sitting down front, you know, you're the ones with the spit up on your shirts. You're the ones that, you know, you were threatening the other kids as well while you stood on stage. Here's the thing, like, you're just saying, we're trying. We want to do our best as parents to raise our kids to know God. It's not an easy task. It's a challenging one, because that kid didn't say, I would like to be dedicated this Sunday. The kid didn't say that. You said, I think this is something important, for we're making a dedication. And our church is coming alongside us and saying, we're with you no matter what you go through. It's interesting how Hannah was asking questions of the Lord, and she was praying a prayer, but these prayers weren't answered. Have you ever asked for something from God and you didn't see the answer come? What do you do with that? Often when we ask of the Lord and we say, God, I would love to see this. Like, if this is God, this is us. God, I want to see this. I want to see this. When it doesn't happen, I've tried over and over. I'm not even praying anymore. We find ourselves moving further away from the Lord. Many times, seeing it personally, having done it personally, is just turning your back and saying, I'm done asking. I'm done. When in reality, if this is the Lord God of whom we're asking, we should say, I want to draw closer. I'm not seeing it answered, but I'm going to draw closer to you. Regardless of if my prayer specifically is answered in what I may want, for sometimes the miracle we're praying for may look a little bit different than the one that the Lord delivers to us. Hannah was trusting. Hannah, in this space in between, she was recognizing that, guess what? Just because our prayers are unanswered doesn't mean we have an uninterested God. That's an important thing for us to remember. Often we want to blame God and say, if he was interested, if he really cared, oh, look what he's done for them, but look at what is not happening for me. Instead of drawing closer and saying, I surrender to you, I trust in you, I walk with you, you're my Lord regardless. Verse number 12, as she continued to pray before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart, and only her lips moved. Her voice was not heard. You get that? Like, her lips were moving. In this day and time, it was normal to pray out loud. You just prayed out loud. But this time, she's praying. Her lips are moving, but the words aren't coming out. You know why? She's praying from her heart. But Eli's going, hey, are you drunk? He literally says that. How long will you go on being drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I'm a woman that is troubled in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I'm pouring out my soul before the Lord. I hadn't taken in strong drink, she says, but I'm pouring out my spirit to God. See, often we try to fill ourselves with anything that's going to distract us, anything that's going to fill that void, anything that's going to help us get through that unanswered season of prayer. Scott Harrop talked about it last week. It's called the distracted heart, and it's dangerous because we want to fill ourselves with anything we can get our hands on, anything that will sedate us for just a little bit, anything will bring us some temporary satisfaction, because obviously God isn't answering what would fill me. And she's saying, no, 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 I haven't done that. I'm pouring my heart out to the Lord. What if in our seasons of unknown, We poured our heart out. We poured our spirit out. We poured our service out to the Lord. We served like we never had before. We gave like we never had before. And we're trusting God even in this meantime. Now, she directs her hurt, her depression that she's walking in, this soul pain that she has, she directs it towards the Lord. She's going, hey, I'm weak right now, and I'm going to lean on your power. I believe that I can pray boldly before you. I'm going to the temple. She's praying from her heart. Her mouth is literally moving, and words aren't coming out. It's coming from the depths of her soul. Verse 16, do not regard your servant as worthless, a worthless woman. For all along, I've been speaking out about my great anxiety and vexation. Then Eli answers, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant the petition that you have made to him. And she said, let your servant find favor in your eyes. Then the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. They rose early in the morning, and they worshiped before the Lord. Then they went back to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. When it says Elkanah knew his wife, it's talking about they engaged in things that married people do. Okay? We're in staff. I had Roxanne. If you're in our kids, you know who Roxanne is. Sweetest lady. I said, would you read this passage for us? Her Bible said, made love. I blushed. That is a dirty woman there. I'll tell you that much. I don't know what version of the Bible she has, but I kind of like it, to be honest with you. But I was like, Roxanne, whoa. And she's like, yeah. And I was like, I don't know. We need to start selling that in the bookstore. That's good stuff. Anyways, okay. I was talking about God at some point. And then I got off on this, okay? So here's the thing. She dedicated her heart before the prayer was answered. Think about the order that's here. She prayed it first. Then a peace came before we find out in a verse about the pregnancy. She prayed first and a peace came. Maybe you're looking for the third thing, whatever that is that you're praying for. It needs to start with a P or it won't be spiritual. But she's praying, a peace comes, all prior to a pregnancy. She was worshiping during the time of unanswered prayer. She was worshiping during this time of waiting. Think about this whole not being pregnant thing. She was being tormented by her enemy. What if the same thing that the enemy wants to torment you with, God wants to transform you with? The same thing that the enemy wants to bring up and say, you're less than. Even your thought in your mind, maybe I'm being judged because of some sin in my life. I can never trust God for something greater because I was something else. I didn't honor him, so why would God give me and bless me with something? And we operate from a defeated mindset instead of going boldly before the throne of grace, admitting our shortcomings and our sin, and coming with deep distress and saying, God, I trust you. I don't want to make a deal with you, God. No, I'm making a dedication of my heart. And whatever you would do from here, I trust you in it. It says in verse 20, in due time. I love it. Over and over in Scripture, it says in due time. Hannah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Samuel. For she said, I've asked for him from the Lord. What a precious gift she was given. You know where it came from? Faithfulness. Hannah was faithful in the meantime as God prepared her for an unseen time. She trusted in her barrenness. It didn't mean it was easy. She trusted in her unanswered prayer season. But what we do know, because I have the Bible and I have it recorded and it was thousands of years ago, I can look, there's an unseen time that's coming. Because she made a dedication. You know how hard it would be for a mom to leave a child at a temple, for that child to be raised, not daily by her, but daily by God's servants. This was a picture of us really trusting. This is a picture of an offering. God gave her something great. She gave it back to God. Do you put your trust in God for something greater? Parents that stood up here, are you putting your trust in God? God, something greater. I could never create an Oakley. I could never create in name the child something as great as you can. So would you take two broken people that are trusting you? Something greater. I got to spend 67 hours with my 19-year-old daughter. Last weekend, we got a chance to go to K-State, and we got an opportunity to watch a game that we lost anyways. But we got to spend time. It was my dad's 70th, and she came over from Missouri, and we met in Manhattan, Kansas, and we spent some time together. These pictures you see here, this is her at college. This is us saying goodbye back in August. This is me videoing awkwardly because my wife wouldn't let go of her, but I had to do the dad thing. How many of you guys done the dad thing? We're just like, well, Eric, me and you, bro. We're like, let him have a moment. Because, you know, I've been around cows, and, you know, you got that mama cow. You don't get between the mama cow and the baby. You know what I'm saying? Now, I'm not calling my wife a heifer. Are you calling your wife a heifer? I am not calling them that. But this is the moment where I'm like, okay, well, as soon as they're done, I guess I'll get the leftovers. You know, that's the moment, which explains something for you guys to know. My wife is at Parents Weekend with my daughter. Why? Because I was not getting in the way of mama and the baby once again. And I'm here with you. Kind of lame. No, I'm kidding. This guy's awesome. But we got to spend 67 hours together. I got to drive 121 miles with her from Manhattan, Kansas to like Leawood, Kansas. In the car, just her and I talking, and she was sharing her faith journey with me. I told you, Eric, like this is the second one. I'm going to cry four times today. And probably five on the way home because I'm hungry and exhausted. But here's what I know. Like, she's talking about like the Lord. And she's talking about Christ alive in her life. And she misses the church. And I played the Something Greater song that we're going to sing in just a minute, like a pirated copy that's not even legal. And I played it for her. She goes, Dad, that is so good. And she didn't tell me why driving, but she's told my wife two times in the last month. She wants to marry someone like me. Yeah. Well, don't clap. She has no idea what she's getting into. Okay? No idea. She hasn't said it to my face yet. But she's told my wife that. And I'm like, this young girl that we just tried to raise in the likeness of the Lord. Like, we stood at the front of a church and people prayed over us when we dedicated her 19 years ago. And we stood there and people laid hands on us and we said, we want to raise this kid to know and love the Lord. And we didn't know what we were doing. But this is where the something greater comes in. This is where God does more than you could ever ask or think. To him be the glory, not us be the glory. To him be the glory, where? In his church, for all generations, forever and ever, amen. So you see this stuff, you hear my journey, you hear the Jensen story, you see life after life standing up here on stage. And I'll be honest with you, this doesn't make a lot of sense because when you're building a building, you need to talk about the financial stewardship of the building. You need to talk about the parking lot. You need to talk about the structure of it. You got to make plans. Like, what are we getting ourselves into? And are we going to go into debt for this? And what does this look like? That's what you do when you talk about a building. But not when you talk about building lives. When you talk about building lives, the something greater is not an addition to a facility. It's not adding on a few parking stalls so that things get a little bit more convenient for us. You know what something greater is? Where you open your hands and you say, Lord, you've given me something great. Would you please do something greater in spite of me? God, would you do something greater in me so that you could do something greater through me? Guess what? We got a finance team. We got a building team. We got a great group of people that are going to check the stewardship and lead in all those ways. But the something greater is the lives. The something greater isn't the project. The something greater is the partnership. The something greater is the engagement. The something greater is watching a group of people do something together they never would have imagined to get done. Because Eric had no idea that him wanting to have his kids in church was going to ultimately result in him taking a radical step of faith because of their influence. And that is the goodness of God. God, we come before you knowing that you fill in gaps. You are our kids' heavenly Father. But more than just parents and kids and Child Dedication Sunday, Lord, you are sovereign. You are over us. We have an individual walk with you. God, I pray that even right now we would begin to trust you for something greater. It's really about Jesus and people. Let us honor you. Let's not touch the glory of God so that his people, those who are called by his name, those who yet know his name, hear and surrender. For you are able to do more abundantly than we could ever ask, think, or imagine. God, your work is in us. To you be the glory and the honor in your church forever and ever. And we all said, amen. I want to encourage you, as you came in today, you were given a next step card, and it's part of a program. And this signifies an opportunity for us to celebrate the something greater that God has done in our life. That's the purpose. Hey, here's what God has done. Hey, here's something I'm asking God to do in my life. Hey, I began a relationship with Jesus Christ today or recently. Hey, I want to get baptized. I want to take that step. Maybe it's to say, you know what? We could use some work in our marriage. Our marriage matters, and I want to honor God in that. I want to take that step. I don't have it all together. It's all good. I want to honor him. I want to serve Christ Church. I want to see him alive in me, and I can be for a parent, a family, an individual, a first-time attender. I could be a face that they happen to see on a sidewalk when it's raining. Hey, it's good to see you. Whatever it is, I want to serve in that capacity. That's something greater, and you can place this in the next step box as you take off. We're going to sing a song that is more than just, here's what bugs me sometimes about life and people and who did what. We're not supposed to touch God's glory. This song that was written for the church in the season that we're in called Something Greater. Yeah, it's the title of a series, but it's more than that. We don't want to touch God's glory. This isn't about who wrote what. This is about God has given us this for this time in our church. We want to be faithful, for we want God to do something in us. And that's what this song is all about. It's the prayer of our church, personally and corporately. God, do something in us so you can do something through us.